Welcome to Surfer.gay, the podcast, where we share gay surf stories from around the world. I'm Patrick, and I will be your host. In this episode, I've had a conversation with Tim. He's such a cool guy that loves to travel. I got inspired to see more of the world as he was sharing some of the amazing places he has been to. So join us when we explore where to surf as a queer person.
So hey, thank you. Very nice to be on the show. So my name's Tim. I'm a marine scientist and surfer. I live in Belgium. My home break is a town called Ostend. It's basically like a city on the almost most southern part of the North Sea. And it's kind of my home break because I work in an office, which is about 5 minutes from the beach there, which is pretty sweet. So. Yeah,
nice. Do you get to go straight from work and just straight out to the surf?
Yeah, usually like I go before or after, or if it's not very busy, like even during lunch, because we really have to be at the high tide, so we're kind of tied to that. And yeah, the surf's not very consistent. We have this small window opening to the Atlantic in the front of the North Sea, so we just have to go and it's good. I usually combine it with work, but I do go like on weekends sometimes. Like we do a bit further trip, like we go to the Netherlands, where the surf is usually a bit better, like the wind is more offshore more often.
But you're all the way south of Belgium. How far is it to go up to the Netherlands?
It depends where you go, basically. So we're all the way on the south part of the North Sea. But then like, the closest town in the Netherlands would be like where I go for surfing would be like Domburg. That's depending on where in Belgium you're going from. It's about an hour drive or something. Okay. But then if you want to go up to like further north to Den Haag and stuff, yeah, it's a few more hours. But
yeah. So it's a little bit of a mission to get up there, but it's okay for the weekends.
No, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. But so, usually the forecast is pretty similar, like
yeah. It normally is like you can see when there is a swell coming in and kind of see if it's actually going to hit or not.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to watch Norway. Like if the storms are in Norway, that's kind of when it starts to get good here.
So you have no surf at the moment because it's such a beautiful weather up here at the moment.
It is. Well, we there's a lot of surf, but it's all like wind swell, you know, it's like from the wind. Hopefully like the next 2 days will be like small waves, basically the leftovers from the wind swell as the wind goes down. So
yeah,
probably go out tomorrow.
So one of the reasons why I reached out to you is because I've seen your Instagram, and it looks like you have been traveling all over the world surfing and been almost everywhere. How long or how did you get into surfing, and when did you start surfing?
So I think the first time is probably like 11 or 12 years ago. I've always been a bit fascinated with like the ocean and stuff, like even for my job I kind of made a career out of it, but I didn't really surf that much because I didn't live near the coast in Belgium, and then again Belgium's not that well known for surfing. But I think I was around like just 20 or maybe 19 even, and like surfing started to like become more popular in Belgium, and there's this company that organized a lot of surf trips basically to the north of Spain and to France. And I think my first real experience with surfing was during like a surf camp I did with friends. Met a lot of really cool people there who are still actually very good friends. And that's kind of the first how I got in touch with surfing. And then for a long time after that, I was just surfing on holidays. So it was like very infrequent. But about like 2 years ago, I started like taking it a bit more serious. I started surfing in Ostend because I got the job there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what made me start to progress a little bit more. So about 10 years. Been to quite a lot of places. As I said, like the waves here, they're okay, but not very consistent. So if you really want to like surf, like really surf, you have to travel quite a bit.
And you travel quite a bit from the look of it.
Yeah, so I try to do like several surf trips a year. For my job, I can travel a bit as well now and then, which I try to combine to kind of like stay a few weeks longer and then go surf.
Nice. Yeah. The last time I saw you, you were in Costa Rica.
That's right,
because I was there at the same time, but I was a little bit further south and you were a little bit more north at the time. Tell me about how was your experience with Costa Rica?
First of all, it's an amazing country. Like the nature, like there's so much wildlife, nature conservation, like properly, there's so many natural parks. It's so pristine, like so much primary forest. And the waves are pretty, pretty nice as well, of course. That's one of the reasons I was there, definitely. And we spent about a week on the Caribbean side, where we had some really nice beach breaks. Actually, quite good swell there, according to the people I spoke to. Like, they get a lot of flat days, but the days I was there was pretty good. And then I spent a week on the Pacific side in Santa Teresa. That was definitely much, much bigger waves, but really had an amazing time there. Yeah.
Amazing. So one of the things that a lot of people that I kind of come across is always asking me about is like, how do you choose where to go and how do you kind of travel safely as a openly gay person?
So when it comes to like choosing the location, it's kind of like if it's a bit further, like South America, or been to Australia once, been to New Zealand, it's either for work or to visit friends. But I like to combine it with surfing. If it's really just like a trip purely for surfing, I would usually like go more Europe. Or like it would be like Portugal, Spain, France, or Morocco even.
Yeah.
So because it's just a bit easier to get to, and the waves there actually are really good.
Yeah.
Concerning safety, well, I mean, it's not that I'm like over planning a trip. Like usually, like I do some research on the surf spots. But it's more like common sense, I guess. You know, you have to, especially like Brazil. You know, it's not unsafe as long as you're like using common sense. Like you don't walk at night during like Rio or one of the big cities.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that goes for pretty much like any huge city or place that. In terms of like safety as a gay person, I've never felt that to be like a factor that influenced my safety. Maybe like one exception would be like in Morocco.
Yeah,
there's actually laws that would make like having sex with another guy illegal. And so there I do remember, like, if you would go on, like, Tinder or Grindr,
yeah,
it would be like, make sure to be, like, safe because there's, like, laws that would discriminate against you or something. Mm. So other than that, I never really felt, like, unsafe, like, in general as a person, but also, like, as a gay person, especially, like, in Costa Rica or in Brazil, like people are very generally very open to it.
Yeah.
Of course, probably depending a little bit on where you go.
Yeah. Want to touch a little bit upon that. Like, when did you realize that you're gay, and how was it for you kind of going through that journey?
Oof, so that must, it's been a while. I struggled with it a bit as a teenager, but about when I was 16, it was kind of the moment that I self-accepted.
Yeah.
And that probably took me like 2 years to like come out to friends and stuff. That was like the time I moved from my hometown, which is like a pretty much countryside area, to the city to study. Mm. And then it was like a lot more freedom, and that was kind of like a very safe space at the time for me to like come out and like live the gay life, I guess. And then it took me like a few years to like officially tell my parents, but I was in this very, I think, very privileged situation where I was kind of sure they would be okay with it.
Yeah.
They kind of knew, like, through friends. And like, my mom would even, like, bring it up sometimes, like, trying to, like, make it like, official. But I would kind of go out of the way of that a little bit. But, yeah, now, I mean, I've been out for ages now, and it's not really a secret to anyone in my surroundings, really. So,
yeah. How is that, like, or where you're surfing now at the moment in your town? Is there a big surf community there, or is it, like, more you and your closest friends that go out surfing?
There is some community. I mean, it's Belgium, so it's really... There's a growing surf community, let's say it like that. I think especially like COVID kind of really triggered a lot of people to start surfing and also start surfing in Belgium, because I think there's a lot of surfers in Belgium, but many of them, they travel to surf.
Yeah.
So there's not that strong of a community feeling, though. I mean, on good days, it's pretty crowded in the lineup.
Yeah.
I feel there's a pretty nice community. I have a couple of friends I go surfing with. I would talk to other people we meet in the lineup, depending how crowded it is, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a lot of other gay surfers in Belgium, or is it more like you're kind of like the only one out there?
I know like a couple. But they're probably not as into surfing as I am. Like,
yeah.
I would go surfing with them like very infrequently, like maybe on a weekend when it works out. But in that sense, I know like a couple, but like really like people that, because my office is there, like I basically go whenever it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about once a week on average. In that sense, there's not like really gay guys that I know that sit there like every day or are like that bit sports. But I know like a few
people
that at least dabble in surfing. Yeah,
that's cool. The friends that you have around, or when you're out in the lineup, do you really have people who kind of reacted poorly or reacted in any way when they figure out that you were gay?
Oh, not really, actually. I think Belgium is, as a gay person, is a great country to live. They're fairly open, and overall, the general opinion about being gay is very open and welcoming. Mm. Or even to the point now where people are just like, whatever, you know?
It's,
which is probably like the good evolution, where it's a non-issue. So not really, no. Like, not in surfing, but also not in general life. I never have felt that, had that many, at least not strong negative reactions. Probably like some subconscious ones, maybe, but
Oh, but that's amazing that it has been so great. And of, as you're saying, Belgium is a really good country and really open-minded when it comes to queer people, from at least from what I can see from the outside of it.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, I don't know, there was like a listing of most gay-friendly countries, and I think Belgium was somewhere in the top five, so.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
In that sense, it's a great country to live. For surfing, not that much, but.
Yeah. So that's why you gotta have a job where you can actually go travel a little bit more and surf that's as well.
It. Yeah, that's it, yeah, so.
So which country have you been to? We mentioned Costa Rica, and you mentioned a little bit the Spain, France, and Portugal, and Morocco. Have you been to any other places?
So these are like the most recent places I've gone to. During COVID, I went to a lot of the Canary Islands. So Fuerteventura, Lanzarote. I went to Madeira, which is like the Portuguese island.
Yeah.
And going back further, I was in Australia 5 or 6 years ago on the Gold Coast.
Cool.
And New Zealand as well, like 2019-ish. Yeah.
So we're going to go through all of this. We're going to start in a way, we'll still do it time zone-wise. So we'll start with New Zealand and Australia. How did you experience the surf there, and how much did you get to surf? Because it's probably pretty crowded there.
Let's start with Australia. There, there it was really crowded. Yeah,
yeah.
We didn't surf like that much there because we were more like road tripping along the East Coast. Mm. But we did pass like Byron Bay and Snapper Rocks there's basically like all these famous surf spots, and we did like surf like several days there. But there it was really crowded.
Yeah,
there it was definitely, the crowd was a factor, and it was like quite a while back in my surfing career, let's say, so yeah. I probably wasn't as confident as I did.
But
New Zealand was actually, I mean, it was really, really not that crowded there.
No.
We were pretty far, we were in the South Island in Dunedin. Yeah. I mean, the water was quite cold there, even though it was summer. The days we were surfing, it was not like amazing surf, but the waves were pretty good. But still, like, there was not that many people surfing there.
Ooh, that's nice.
I didn't really feel like it was a problem to surf there. Not like Australia, at least. Yeah.
No. Australia is packed with people, and everything in the water and everything on land kind of wants to kill you. I'm all keep saying.
No, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's definitely, Australia is definitely a great experience. I would like, of all the kind of trips I did, I do think like Australia is like one of the biggest highlights. Not necessarily for the surfing alone, but just for like the wildness of the country.
Yeah.
And the general vibe of like the people and definitely.
Oh, what was how did you experience the vibe of the people there?
Very open, very like for a Belgian person from a Belgian perspective, very open to conversations with strangers. We are much more like Belgian people in general, and probably Western European people in general. They're more like reserved when it comes to directions with strangers. But in Australia, people are like very open. Everybody says good day to you. Like, definitely, it's a really nice vibe. Everybody seems to be like in a really good mood there all the time.
Yeah.
Like, weather. I don't know, but it was definitely like, a really nice cultural vibe.
Cool. And when you went to New Zealand, you had to use a wetsuit there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
How thick of a wetsuit did you go that then?
I think it was summer, so I think I had probably a 4.3 still, because it's like the Southern Ocean, you know, especially out, so the water was pretty cold. I mean, it's basically like the same wetsuit you would surf like in Portugal or
yeah.
Or surf in Belgium even. I mean, in winter, we do have to like get like a 5'4" wetsuit.
Yeah, you go up to 5'4" during the winter in Belgium?
Yeah, like temperatures here, like in January, February, get to down to like 5 degrees, yeah.
And you only go in 5'4"?
Yeah. I go in 4'3", but I have like a hooded vest, which is another 2 mil. So it would be like a 6'3"-ish.
When it gets down to 5 degrees, I'm in my 6'5".
Oh, wow. Damn. Yeah.
And with like 7 mil booties and gloves and hoodies and everything.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like too cheap, you know. I just want to use the 4'3", which I can do all year, and then just put the vest underneath when it gets
cold. And how thick of a booties do you use in Belgium?
I have like the 5, because my feet get, it's like the first thing that gets cold. So it's like 5 mil, I think, if like the Vans.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I like that you said 5. I said that's really thick. great. And then you said Australia, Morocco. How have you been there a lot or just a couple of times?
Just once for now. Definitely going back. Definitely.
Yeah.
Like the waves there, it's just all point breaks, all rights, which for like regular footer is like very awesome and easy to surf. Just amazing waves, really nice like temperature, really nice people as well, like very nice, friendly atmosphere in general.
Where in Morocco did you go?
We went basically north of Agadir, where you have like Anchor Point, Tamracht, which is like the town, and then you have like Im Souan, which is I think those are probably like the most famous spots in Morocco, but basically like all of the Atlantic coast is just
I've been a couple of times to Morocco as well, and I've always gone to that kind of a place, to Anchor Point, which is it's a fun wave, but it can get kind of hectic out there with a lot of locals.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've heard people say that a lot, like the locals in Morocco are really, but I don't know if it was because we were you have like these kind of surf camps there.
Yeah,
they just basically just drive you to the beach or to like the best spot for the day, like every day. And it's super cheap for Belgium. And I don't know if it was like the guy that just had a lot of respect in the water, but I never really felt like the locals were really pushy there.
No.
We were not in like main surf. I think we were there quite late in season. I think we were like end of May, which is like really the edge of where get too windy in Morocco, so maybe was a factor as well. But
that being said, I also had a lot of good sessions down there where there have been such a great vibe in the lineup, where people are just having a blast and kind of chatting to each other and kind of like waiting in line and have a proper lineup there.
Yeah, that was basically my experience, especially like Im Souan is where you just like, you go out right at the point, you take the wave, you surf for like a minute or 2 minutes, and then you just walk back for 15 minutes, and like, everybody's just doing like basically that kind of cycle.
Yeah.
I never really feel like I never really felt it was like too busy. So definitely, it was a good vibe,
Yeah, and Im Souan is, for those that doesn't know that wave, it's inside this little, or not a little bay, it's a huge bay, but it's inside this bay, and you have a town just right up at the point, and that wave, I don't know how long it is, but it's a long, long wave, and it doesn't never really get super steep. You can kind of cruise on it on a longboard for a minute or two.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, like with a mid-length. Like,
yeah. Perfect. It's such a cruisy wave.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely, definitely recommend that. if you like chill surfing.
Yeah.
Place to go, Morocco.
What's your favorite wave in Morocco? Or do you have a favorite wave? Did you get to...
In Morocco, I would say Im Souan was like the one where at the time we had the best waves.
Yeah.
I was only there for like 10 days. So, and as I said, was like not like peak surf season. So probably not have like the best conditions. But that was definitely like the highlight for me, like that what I think back of when I think of Morocco. So
yeah, cool. Was it then purely the surfing or just like experiencing Im Souan itself?
Both, I would say both. Yeah, I mean, it was like a proper surf trip. Like it was two sessions every day. So it was a proper surf trip. But definitely like the houses and the food was really good as well. Like the fresh you can get there and stuff was pretty amazing. So definitely nice experience as well. And this was like usually when I do trips, like it's about 50-50, like 50% I would just travel alone.
Yeah.
And the other half I would travel with friends. And this was like a surf trip I did with like a big group of friends. So it was really nice just to be surfing with friends every day. So
That's always a great way to travel, is to kind of be able to paddle out with your friends and kind of just traveling, surfing and having fun.
Yeah. And then just talking about all the sick waves you got.
Yeah. And then someone is trying to bust you out on it. In Europe, where is your kind of like your favorite place to travel to besides Belgium and Netherlands?
I would say Portugal. I really like the way Portugal, like the connection Portugal has with the ocean. Like everything about this country is somehow connected to the oceans. Like they're big into fishing, but they're also very big into ocean conservation, which is like more my job part. And other than, I mean, the people are super nice. And other than that, it's just like the country is amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's so many good waves there all along this coast. Very consistent as well. Like you can basically go any time of year and you will. Good days, you know. So definitely I would say Portugal. And then in Portugal, the trips that like stand out most to me would be I was surfing actually near Lisbon, like just basically with like 30 minutes train out of Lisbon you can get to a few very nice spots. Like you have Castelos, which is like right like the first beach, ocean facing beach in the bay. And then when you go up further to Cascais, which is like this fancy beach town, you have Praia de Guincho, which is a really nice surf spot as well. Mm. And south of the bay, you also have a lot of spots. And the other one would be like Peniche and Baleal.
Yeah.
I think it really stands out to me because I was there when they had the WSL final there. So... I mean, it was like surfing a lot, but then also surfing like in the same spots where like all of the world champions were surfing. So that was like every time you go out like in a spot, you're like see these people. You're like, oh damn, is that guy? Is that Cali? Yeah. So that was groupie. And then the contest itself. I mean, it's I love how like. Professional surfing is at this stage where it's like big enough to get like a lot of international media attention, and like they're almost like rock stars, at least for the
people. Yeah.
But still small enough that during one of these events you can just go up to them and be like, hey man, you want to take a selfie? Which is like so weird if you think about any other sport. So I think it's surfing is like really in this perfect sweet spot there. Being like both a rock star surfer as well as being like an approachable person, you know. So
yeah,
That was
fun. Oh, that's cool. Did you see any? Did you get to surf with anyone? Any of the one on the tour in the water?
I mean, we were on Baleal Beach a lot, and on the beach just north of that, which I don't remember the name of at the moment. But we saw Felipe Toledo in the water there. We saw who else? I think Jack Robinson was there as well, surfing at some point. So I mean, we saw them like from the beach. And we were, I mean, we were surfing at the same spot, but I didn't really see them in the water, let's say.
Okay. Yeah.
I probably was looking for like the less crowded peaks. And I don't think I'm at the level where I can compete with them. It's a beach break, so it's like there's quite a lot of currents and stuff. So it's the positioning definitely is a factor. But yeah, it was just nice. Like, seeing them around in the town and seeing them doing the competition.
That
was really cool. And the waves itself were also amazing. Like this area, like Baleal and Peniche, it has this, the coastline is like so jagged that whatever direction the wind is blowing from, there's always at least one beach that has offshore wind and where it's good. And because of that, like you can also, depending on the swell direction, there's always a spot that's like the perfect wave size for you, you know, like where the swell will bend around the little points and stuff. And so there's always at least like one nice spot to surf. So yeah, that was really, really nice experience as well. So in Europe, definitely I would prefer those. I will definitely go back to those. But I mean, there's so much in Portugal that I still have.
Yeah, Portugal have a lot of different ways to kind of go around and explore.
No, definitely. Yeah.
I started exploring the islands as well. You said you went to Madeira.
Madeira, yeah.
How did you feel surfing? Oh, when did you go there?
This was in 2021, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was still.
And what time of the season?
It was December. It was right before Christmas. So I remember. Because they have this Christmas ritual where they like light fireworks at 6 a.m. for like a week before Christmas. So we'd be up at 6 a.m. every day.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. No, but that Madeira is definitely like really beautiful place as well.
Yeah.
Both for like hiking, but also for surfing. Like there's a lot of spots there. Definitely loved it. Yeah.
Did you find it like harsh waves, or was it kind of like nice and easy to surf on?
I think we mostly did like the east shore or even the south shore where the waves were pretty mellow. But on the north, you do have like much bigger and like much bigger spots. Where the waves get really intense. Like you have a few big wave surf spots there as well.
Yeah.
Which I didn't go to.
Okay. Because that's what I've heard. So every time I hear people go to Madeira, I'm like, oh shit, you are going hard. There are some big waves there.
I went for the more mellow waves, I think. But they were really good. Like there's a lot of like reef and point breaks there as well.
So nice.
They're pretty nice. And there's one which is like in a very narrow bay next to, I forgot the Portuguese name, but it's called Eagle's Rock. And there you have like this very narrow bay, and it's a pretty fun wave. But it's pretty crazy because you're basically surfing between two walls of rock. It's really narrow, but it was like right in the town where we were staying. So it would be like, when we wake up at 6 a.m., we would go surf there because it's walking distance from our place. That's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I always love when you can kind of wake up, just grab your board and kind of walk to the surf and not have to get in a car or something.
Go check the waves with a cup of coffee and then
yeah,
that looks good.
Next time you go to those islands, you should also try Azores.
Of course, yeah. I've been there for work, but it was really brief and I didn't really surf there. But definitely, like, the islands, they were just, like, amazingly beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, the nature there is amazing, but it's some one of my best sessions were in Azores, where you kind of hike down this cliff for about, like, 20 minutes. Then you have to time it to with the tide, so you can only kind of go there on low tide to mid tide. When it's high tide, you have to kind of paddle over a lot of rocks. But once it's like low to mid tide, it's perfect. It's actually a left wave, which isn't that. I love a good left, but such an amazing point break where it kind of just runs for maybe 400 or 500 meters.
Nice.
And since you have to hike down there, you kind of are by yourself there. So I was surfing there for like 2 or 3 hours by myself.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting scared to get like stuck by the tide.
Yeah.
Always when you have to walk out of the cliff and they're like, oh, watch out because you're at this high tide, you're stuck. It's like.
Yeah. That's why I was like, one of the local guys that I met down there, he was like, yeah, just go there when it's like, from mid to low, because then you can kind of be there for when it's low and coming up to mid again, and then you can get out of there. I was like, great, I'll do that.
no, cool. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely still on my list of like places I want to go, like,
yeah,
in this case, go again, but then like really go much more for surfing.
So where are those kind of like the dream spots that you still have on your dream map, or where you kind of want to go?
Oh, oof! This is there's so many. The region I've not really surfed is like Southeast Asia.
Yeah,
so definitely. I was actually last year I was looking to go to the Philippines, but in the end I went to Costa Rica instead. But that's definitely a region I still want to explore. Bali, of course.
Like, yeah.
It's just like all the images from that just look amazing. Probably the Mentaways.
Yeah.
Here, like, is probably like the most kind of pristine type of waves you can get. And then, like, if I really, like, take like a break from work for a year or something, I definitely would like to do a lot of like the Pacific Islands. Thing that really intrigues me, like going surfing there in these super remote places, but also like seeing how people live there. Like the communities that live on these very small islands.
That's
something that intrigues me and yeah, definitely that's something I really would like to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they will also work a lot with like, ocean preservation.
Things. Yeah. It's,
yeah. Like starting new coral reefs and like farming coral reefs and stuff like that.
No. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, for them, it's like they almost have no choice, you know, they're so dependent on the ocean. Real life that they need to. They're gonna be like the first people that are gonna have to face a lot of the are already facing like climate change issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, that also is like very interesting to me. Like for my job, we do a lot of research around climate change and the impacts of that on the ocean. Oh. So like, this maybe sounds like really bad, but like seeing that firsthand, I think. Is something that I feel like I need to experience. Like, because we always look at it more from like an ecosystem perspective, but then like seeing actual the cultural impact of all that, it's definitely something that intrigues me as well. So yeah, that would be like a really nice trip to do. But if I want to go there, I need a lot of time, I think, because going to such a remote place for just a couple of weeks is like, not done.
Yeah. It's a far travel from Europe to the Pacific Islands. Yeah, you want to have quite a bit of time to kind of go around there.
Oh, yeah. Have you been there?
No, I haven't. I have a couple of friends that are sailing in that area at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking of trying to join them for a couple of weeks, but then I was like, oh, it's like 3 days of traveling just to kind of get to where the in the area where the boat is, and then it's I have to kind of track them down again and then figure out how to navigate on small islands to get to where they are. It's like, I was like, oh, I should have been there for half a year if I wanted to go.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's, I mean, that's
the minimum.
That's what I think, yeah, as well. No, yeah, definitely. But that's definitely something that, like, I will do one time. I don't know yet when, but definitely that's the one.
Yeah. So I'm kind of guessing you already have like a trip scheduled or planned in the near future.
So I have a small chance that in October I'm gonna be able to go back to Brazil.
Ooh.
In Florianopolis, which turns out to be also a prime surf destination. So that can be really cool. So I'll probably, if I can do that, I'll probably go there. And the other one is I also want to really go back to Morocco, likely around like December.
Yeah.
Or maybe even January. But those are like the first two surf trips that I'm kind of thinking about.
Yeah.
And then for next year, yeah, maybe, why not? I should start on my Southeast Asia adventure. I don't know.
Yeah. Have you been around much in South America and Central America besides Costa Rica and Brazil?
I've been to Brazil already two times now.
Yeah.
But other than that and Costa Rica, I've not explored Latin America that much. So definitely, I think definitely for surfing, Peru is on the list. And probably Chile as well, even though it's much colder water, I would guess, depending on who you are. But I hear that the waves there are also really good, and it's not overall that popular surf destination.
Yeah.
So probably like a good place to score really good waves that are uncrowded.
Yeah. How important is it for you to when you're kind of thinking of your dream destinations, do you want to go like super remote places, or would you want to go to more commonly known places like Anchor Point in Morocco and where people kind of gravitate towards because the waves are so good there?
I mean, I really like the idea of being remote, but then again, having like a lot of infrastructure to get to a place is also very convenient. So especially now that I'm like having no longer a student and having to balance work and surf trips, I think I would go to like easier to reach places, which leads to like, of course, more busy breaks and more famous breaks, because kind of the infrastructure develops around these famous places. But like what I would really want is like, and if I had a lot of time, I think I definitely prefer like more remote kind of trip to really like surf and be very like, be able to have this very relaxed lifestyle without too much other things going on.
Yeah,
it definitely speaks to me. But yeah.
I also really like, for my surf trips, when I just have like 1 week or 10 days or something, then I kind of want to just go in and out. Like, yeah, I know exactly where I'm flying to. The hotel or the surf camp is already, like, everything is kind of set up. But once I have a little bit more time, I love kind of trying to find this a little bit more uncrowded spots where you kind of have to search a little bit. You're not always scoring, but every now and then you have like this perfect little wave to yourself and you can kind of just have fun with it.
Yeah, I think the feeling of like finding a spot where no one is and then finding this wave and just fucking ripping on this, and that's just like the best feeling. Like you found this little secret and you just enjoy that so much. That's a really good feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And there aren't that many places left in the world that haven't been kind of developed or kind of people haven't been before. So that's also like one of my dreams, is kind of trying to go to this new place and start searching out this wave. So, and then you have to have quite a bit of a time there because you have to see the swell and kind of read the ocean and the ocean floor a little bit more. But it would be it's so much fun kind of going on these adventures and finding new waves and naming new waves.
No, yeah, that's the dream, I think. So yeah, one day that Pacific Island trip. It's in the future.
It's in the for sure. You got to do it. That's amazing. We kind of getting towards the end. Is there anything else that you would like to share, or something that you're really passionate about these days?
Maybe just like today we did a kind of beach cleanup. And so, I mean, it's a bit tied to kind of my job, but I'm really passionate about like ocean conservation. That's also one thing that I really like about surfing or the surf culture, is that it's really rooted in environmentalism and conservationism.
Yeah,
where basically like to surf, we are dependent on the waves being there, and we're maybe more in touch with nature and weather than
yeah,
more, since we're so dependent on it for kind of be able to surf.
Yeah.
And that's like an aspect of like surf culture that I really like. And that, I mean, I just love the surfing just for what it is, but that kind of makes it that much more rich and kind of, yeah, just being in harmony with nature is really something that is really interesting to me. That's something I'm passionate about.
Yeah,
I think
cool.
Like in the future, I would really love to like find, because I'm in marine research, and right now I'm working on a lot of European research projects. But in the future, I think I want at some point go back to more like really doing research and fieldwork myself, and then I would really love to be like working on some marine conservation project. Best circumstances, somewhere in an island which has amazing and kind of combine those passions together, and that would be like the dream.
Yeah, so in a couple of years we'll find you in the Pacific island, in the Pacific Ocean, on a little island doing some ocean conservation.
Yeah, maybe, why not?
Yeah. With some really nice point breaks and just outside the bay where you're doing things.
Yeah, no, that would be amazing. Yeah.
That's cool. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for sharing your story and sharing some stoke about traveling and surfing and being openly travel as an openly gay surfer as well.
No, yeah, no. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. Thanks a lot for what you do as well. I think it's a nice initiative to kind of like be an inspiration to a lot of people. Because as you said, like there's not that many gay surfers, or not at least not gay surfers that I know that are like super open about it.
Yeah,
it's at least not two things that many people like associate. So I think it's really nice that you're kind of trying to promote that and bring that a bit more in the open. So definitely happy to support that.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you'd like to follow Tim's adventures, you can find his Instagram in the description. And as always, keep tagging us on Instagram and we will share your photos. And in the other episode, it's on its way. So until next time, have a great surf session. Bye.
Bye.